Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never change anything.
All right, today's podcast is titled Chattel Housing versus Real Estate. Chattel Housing versus Real Estate. 619-768-2945. We're going to go into that right after this.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat. I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
All right, today's podcast is titled Chattel Housing versus Real Estate. So let's get into this real quick. Chattel house. Chattel house is a Barbadian word, and Barbadian comes from the island of Barbados. It's a Barbadian word for a small, movable wooden house that working class people would occupy, period. The term goes back to the plantation days in Barbados, when homeowners would buy houses designed to move from one property to another. The word chattel means movable property, so the name was appropriate. Chattel houses are set on blocks or on a ground sill rather than being anchored to the ground. In addition, they are built entirely out of wood and assembled without nails. This allowed them to be disassembled along with the blocks and moved to place to place. The system was necessarily necessary historically because homeowners typically did not own the land that their house was set on. Instead, their employer often owned the land. In case of the landlord-tenant employer-employee dispute, the house could, in case of the landlord got in a beef with a tenant, the house could be quickly moved to a new property. It has been customary. The people in Barbados and other parts of the West Indies to build additions onto their chattel houses. As such, the house may look, though different in different sections that are slightly different heights or even different patterns due to each part being constructed in different stages. Modern chattel houses tend to have a greater degree of permanence as they are often connected to electricity mains or the grid, and may either have a permanent septic tank or be connected to a public sewer system. Dimensions. Timbers are pre-cut standard lengths, such as 12 to 20 feet, all even numbers typically. That's the more modern ones. So if you've been down to Barbados or, I guess, any of the West Indies islands, you can see plenty of chattel houses. Now, what I like about them is this, and this is why we call today's podcast Chattel Houses versus Real Estate. A chattel house, you own it. That's your house. With real estate, you don't own it in its entirety. With real estate, first thing is permanently attached to the ground, the county, the city, some municipality owns that land. Now, you might gain an equitable interest of some sort, but they can tax you. They can say that your house is worth this much in taxes, pay these taxes to us, if you don't pay them, or if you get water from that municipality and you don't pay the water bill, they can auction your house off and take your house, although if you had a mortgage on it, or even built it, and it's debt-free. If it's permanently attached to that municipality's land, you're out of luck. All right. And the thing with tax assessments, that really only benefits the municipality. It might be nice to hear your house is worth $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, maybe $1 million. That's what they assess it at. But the higher they assess it, the higher your property taxes that you have to pay to them. So if you have a property that is firmly attached to land that's classified as real estate, if you don't pay, they take. Now, with chattel housing, it's not permanently attached to the land. You're not going to get a tax bill that increases year by year with that particular municipality. You don't need a deed, because all a deed does is show you have equitable interest in a house. That's about it. And with a chattel house, like I say, now imagine how much you're saving on taxes having a chattel house, because you're not getting a yearly tax bill. And if you want to move to a different location for whatever reason, you can disassemble it and move to a different location. It's truly your house. Now, you can go online and there's various pictures. Most of them are pretty simple. Most of them are pretty simple. But a chattel, because all the word chattel means is movable. So a mobile home is a distinction of a chattel house. Much of a manufactured housing, as long as it's not permanently attached to the land, can be classified as a type of chattel house. But if you want to take a look at the original type houses, just go on YouTube or websites, and you can see what the original ones look like. Like the guy said, they're originally made out of wood. But the main thing is they're movable, and if you can take part in the construction, built without nails so they can be easily disassembled and assembled. Sort of like a Lego house. All right. And we'll be doing a lot of that. So let's see. We haven't taken any calls. So let's take a call here. 314, your mic is open.
No, just listening to the conversation.
Oh,
LA came in kind of late.
Not really.
You better ready to get off.
I've been doing short ones for the last couple of weeks. So today, I just wanted to bring up chattel houses. Which that word chattel means move, and anybody can go online and take a look at what the ones that look like in Barbados or the West Indies. And the early ones were built without nails. I guess you can still, if you find a craftsman that can do that today. Japanese architecture is still like that, where they built without nails, so you can assemble it and you can disassemble it without difficulty, and then move it to another place. So that's about it.
Well, yeah, those are the kinds that the hurricanes and tornadoes like to deal with too.
Yeah, they've got now they've built the newer ones that they built can deal with a hurricane or high winds better than the original ones. But I guess these days, you can basically, if you know a hurricane's coming, disassemble it and pack it away somewhere, and then when the storm blows over, pull it back out and then put it back together.
Yeah, if I ever build another house, it's going to be a monolithic dome.
Are you talking, is that the same as a geodesic dome?
No, it's the same shape, of course, as a dome, but the way it's built is a whole lot different. And
okay,
they have a rate of insurance on one of them, maybe $100 a year. Homeowners insurance.
How much? You said 100,
I've heard some people report that they paid $100 a year for insurance, huh?
Oh, for I'm looking at one of these now.
For homeowner insurance. There's nothing in them to burn up. Wall studs are metal.
Okay.
You blow that air form up. And I sent you some of those, by the way. You spray polyurethane on it to specified thickness. Put on your rebar. Then you come in, you spray shotcrete to a specified thickness. On the exterior, you can do the same thing if you want to, or whatever type of appearance that you want to have.
Uh-huh.
But they earthquake proof, termite proof, storm proof, highly
what
efficient
about,
as far as heating is concerned.
What about, because in Florida you got a sinkhole problem in some places. Or is there anything as sinkhole proof?
Well, anything that's built on the ground is going to go down, going to fall with the ground if the ground falls. So
that's true.
I mean, you're building on the earth. Earth is disappearing. Your house is going to disappear with the earth.
No, that's true.
Regarding other hazards, it's a heck of a good house. Plus, rodents can't hide in it.
Now, is that something, how many square feet the one you're talking about, looking at, or the building?
Well, of course you can build a monolithic dome with the 300 feet diameter or more. They got some, but I was working with a friend of mine, Kevin, in St. Louis, where they regentrifying an area. And I suggested that he look at putting some of these units in. Now, because of the agreement, they restricted to 1,200 square feet. And there is a number of homes that fall within that category, up to 3 bedrooms. 2 bedrooms, no problem. Up to 3 bedrooms, maybe 4. At that depends on the size of the bedroom. And the price would have to come in around $160,000 because they want to make it affordable for a certain class of people.
Okay. Well, this dome you're talking about, this is a project you have in the works or planning.
No, that's a project. It's called Union Serra Development. You can go online and see it. Now, they do have structures like that, dome structures. For instance, like for rental, where they have like a kitchenette. You know, you have your kitchen, you have your dining area, you have a bedroom area. And it's a development in Texas, Ithaca, Texas. That's where the manufacturing company is. But near there, they have a development of units like that that they rent out for about $500 a month, like a little rental community.
Okay, well.
And something like that costs about $20,000, I think. they got them like that, and they got some that you can come bring out on a truck and bolt together. Bolt it down to your slab. Mm-hmm. Bolt the quadrants together. Japan makes some too. In Russia, they have, I've seen apartments, storied apartments that were shaped like a tube with a dome on top of it.
Uh-huh.
In the design of that dome, you can take the curvature all the way down to the footing, or should I say the slab, or you can come up with a wing wall to a varying height, say 8 foot, then start mm-hmm. the dome curvature from that point on up.
Okay, well, I love extreme housing, and the domes are a part of that. Of course, when it comes to extreme housing, a lot of your bigger municipalities mm-hmm. really don't allow for them.
But no, those are some pretty nice dudes there, though, that like them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And the equipment that you need is nothing more than that mixer, spray mixer, same type of thing that they've been in use for a long time in the construction industry. But you spray that foam. I built a custom van that I sprayed styrofoam, polyethylene foam on the interior.
Uh-huh.
And man, that dude was well insulated for sound and for temperature. And people used to do houses like that too. They, in some areas, I think in California, they have some development that fill the cavity between the wall studs with that type of foam. And after it's set up, you just come and trim it off what extends beyond the studs, and go ahead and put your fixtures would already be in, but there you are. And you know that it won't burn, it smothers. You know, it won't blaze
right.
up. It smothers.
Mm.
It's what it does.
Mm-hmm. You should open up your, I'm telling you, you need to open up your own school, man. You need to learn from people like you, not how to build.
I know a couple of guys that did that over in Africa, too, over in Ghana. They probably did it. Well, actually, there's many instances where people have built those type of structures in an African country. And apparently it works pretty well. I had a design for a house, a circular home. You know, chalet, or a French word for hut. Circular homes are very efficient. In Africa, they use thatch roof, which is nothing but grass. That thatch roof lasts a long time. It's impermeable to rainwater. If people like that type of design. So what they've done,
thatch roof,
they just...
those are expensive over there in a lot of parts of Europe.
Yeah. So what they done, you have architects that design regular material houses out of that. And at the top, they would have screen openings, you know, a circular window wall that would screen to let the heat out. Mm-hmm.
Well,
for light, they would have reflective openings that was coated with a reflective material, so your daylight would be amplified as it came down that opening, a cylindrical opening. It would be amplified, and egg, you could, your house would be just as lit up as if you had lights in it, electrical fluorescent lights.
Hmm.
So it's a lot of things out there.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. It sure is. That. Well, thank you for that feedback. We're going to close it out for the day, like I said. We've been doing short ones because I'm up here
Okay.
Preparing for
I'll see you later.
Along the ground. You know, folks, all right, we're probably going to start back on our more regular time, maybe by the end of the week or early next week. But on that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Crush your morning goals with a steak, egg, and cheese bagel or any breakfast sandwich and snag another one for just a buck with the buy one, get one deal. Only in the McDonald's app. Limited time only at participating McDonald's. Valid once per day. Must opt into rewards.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.